you bring the broken back to life. Only you can, only you can. You set me free from every chain. You fill my heart with songs of praise. Only you can, only you can. Jesus, you're the only reason that I'm even breathing. I am wide awake.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's wonderful to have you with us, and thanks for joining us on our live stream this morning. Hope you've got your coffee and you're ready to worship with us. I love that last song because it talks about how all creation proclaims the glory of God. Let's continue to worship Him this morning.
Jesus, there's nothing. Majesty and light, glory beyond earth and sky, who is like the Lord Most High? Great is the one who would leave a throne room for a cross. For love. All glory to God alone, praise to the one who gave it all, name above all names, King Jesus, all glory to God alone, praise to the one who holds the throne, name above all names. Cross.
name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who holds the throne. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone.
Let's pray together. Holy and sovereign God, you are the firm foundation. You're the best foundation because you are holy. You are transcendent. You are a God of love and grace and mercy. You are worthy for us to place our trust and our hope in. We know that because of all the promises that you make to us in your word. And you not only make promises, but you keep your promises to us. You do that not only each and every day, but you do that eternally, forevermore and evermore. Father, you're so awesome. It does cause us to wonder why and if you really care about us. And you remind us you care about us deeply. That it's part of who we are as human beings created in your image. And that you're the one that has been searching for us, wanting to be in relationship with us. And that's very humbling. It allows us to see where we fall short of your glorious and godly ideal. And yet you're not a punisher, you're just the opposite of that. You free us from the bondage of our sin, of our bad habits and our bad attitudes. And something profound, something decisive happens when we confess our sins to you and you lavish forgiveness upon us. It's amazing how that makes all the self-condemnation go away. Jesus, as we lift you up in worship, we want to pray for those that we've been praying for this whole week. At least we've added them yesterday and this morning to our mind and our heart and our soul. Lord, you know who needs healing, who needs provision. You know who needs guidance, wisdom. We pray once again today for our world and the world leaders, for our country, for our state and our region, for our government leaders and our corporate leaders. Lord, give them wisdom as they make policy and make decisions. Lord, to come in your presence today is, well, it's a privilege, but it's also something, Lord, we need. We need the centering of putting both of our feet on the foundation that you set for us, the pathway that you have laid out for us. Lord, you know what we need this morning. And I pray that as we worship you, that you would meet our need, ease our concern, encourage us where we're down and depressed and stressed. Lord, allow us to empty our hands of all of that today, that we might gather in your goodness and your glory. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a few announcements for us this morning. I want to remind you that your donations for foster children need to be on site by the 23rd of November. Last year we did 166 stockings. In some years we have things left over that we store for a year. I want you to know we're giving it all away. In fact, we gave it all away last year, so we really don't have a backup plan. You're our plan A, and there's no plan B. So thank you for your generosity towards that. We're going to decorate both this building and the sanctuary building. It's going to be a two-day affair on November 26th and 27th. The 26th, we could particularly use those of you that can move things from one place to another because we have trees and things all stored that need to be brought down to the floor level. And then on the 27th, we've got a plan. We're going to put all the decorations up on the 27th and be ready for the first Sunday in Advent. If you would like to help on either of those days or both of those days, please contact Christy@squimcommunitychurch.org, or contact the church office. I do want to take a moment, and if we can bring the house lights up, I would like to acknowledge everybody that has been in military service this morning. Would you please stand for us? All right. Thank you for your service. We now have a video about the home kits that we made for Afghanis who are being relocated to the Seattle-Tacoma area. Again, thank you for your generosity and your participation in that. We're hoping to have a little bit more information and a follow-up time sometime after the first of the year. Jim Spriney is our elder for personnel. And Jim, thanks for reading the scripture passage today.
Good morning. I should say oorah, as yeah. Being a former Marine.
All right.
I'll be reading from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21, and James 4, verses 2 to 7. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. James 4, verses 2 through 7. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed with us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
So dealing with challenging people, difficult people, we're headed into the holiday season, lap number two of our time under COVID. And well, if you think your family and extended family and friends are normally a little challenging during the holidays, they're going to be very challenging during the holidays. So I'm here to help this morning. The truth is that we deal with difficult people, well, all the time, don't we? We're driving down the road and there's that driver who isn't paying attention because they're looking at their phone. And they swerve in front of you and stop, and then you have to stop all of a sudden. That's emphasis. Sometimes it's a noisy neighbor. You're wanting to be outside. You want to enjoy the beauty and the peace and the quiet of living in Squim. And all of a sudden, there's all this noise to the point that it forces you from the outside to the inside of your house. Then, of course, if you're working away, there's that demanding customer that wants it a certain way. Now, the good thing is those are not permanent difficulties. Those are just temporary difficulties. A more permanent difficulty would be, well, the people that you'll be with around the table at Thanksgiving or around the tree at Christmas time. Those are family members that, well, you just can't give them an involuntary transfer to another family. We need to know how to deal with them when they're difficult. How do we do that? Well, the overarching thing that Jesus says, whether the challenging person is just short-term or more lifelong, Jesus says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, the truth is we may love our neighbors more than our extended family members. We are called to love everyone else like we want to be loved. So what is the key? The key is what Paul says to the Galatians. He says, here's an insight that I think will help you in all of your relationships, especially those challenging people in a moment or in a lifetime. Listen to his wisdom and insight. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants and the opposite of why we get together with our extended family, by the way. Now, notice what I've done is I've inserted a few things from the bottom of the passage into the passage here for good reason. What is it that we do that opposes what the Spirit wants? Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. Those are things that we experience when our family and extended family gets together, don't we? Maybe not in overly demonstrative way, but yet it's at least an undercurrent as we gather around the table or around the tree. Paul goes on, and the Spirit gives us desires that are opposed to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And it may be that the fighting that's going on is on a lower level, but I have been at occasions where, well, things got a little out of hand as we gathered around the table, as we gathered around the tree. Now, simply, Jesus is correct. We have to choose love, and here's why. Because those forces are constantly fighting, and they're fighting in us, and they come out of us, and when they do, it's not pretty. It's not helpful. Wouldn't you agree it makes things worse and doesn't make things better? And we have to choose to love others in the same way we like to be loved, because 98% of what we do is habit. 98% of what we do is habit. And if our habit is to oppose the Spirit instead of going with the flow of the Spirit, then we need to choose. And there are those circumstances and settings and relationships in life where, well, the evil comes out of us. Where we start losing the battle and the conflict between good and evil that exists inside of us. So how do we choose love with challenging people? I think first and foremost, and here's another key. One is to realize we have this conflict. Two is we have to choose humility if we want to choose love. We have to choose to be a humble person. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only leads to quarrels. Well, how many quarrels have you had, well, around the table at Thanksgiving, or around the TV at Thanksgiving, or as you go about at Thanksgiving? And I know Christmas is filled with quarrels. All those people, all those presents, nah, everybody's not really happy. At least not completely happy. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. As the scriptures say, God opposes the prideful, but his grace he gives to the humble. So give yourself completely to God. Now, why is that the key in a family setting, friends and family? Why is that the key to being humble? And I'll give you a little insight. Remember, this will save you at least 2 hours at the therapist's office right now. The reason is we look to other people in our family to meet our inner needs. We gather together with expectation, don't we? Expectation that they will feed us, encourage us, that they will give us what we need. And it's true, we do need to receive things from our family. But when we talk about the foundations of life, significance, security, purpose, meaning, well, human beings only have a limited ability to fulfill those inner needs that we all have. And it's amazing how we use those holiday moments to kind of leverage the opportunity for them to give me what I need. And I know how it goes around the table. I've been around a lot of tables. Those expectations are at least not fully met. You know why? Because there's always that story about you when you were younger that just happens to be told. Have you noticed it's told regularly at the Thanksgiving table? Or at Christmas as we're gathered around the tree? And there may be an add-in, but there's also a subtraction that happens. And when we expect other human beings to meet our foundational needs, we become upset. We become angry. Wait, what's the list? Oh, we might get a little hostile, and we might quarrel, and we might be jealous. We might have a little outburst of anger. Don't we have a little selfish ambition as we go to Christmas? Buy the best gift, receive the best gift. That creates a little dissension in the family, a little division in the family, and well, oftentimes we're envious of everyone else because they seem to have their life all together. And is it only me that has an inner need that's not being met? What we need to do is remember that God is the only one that can meet our inner needs. Those inner foundational needs that we have, we want to know who we are, why we are, and where we're going. And when we look for human beings to define those key things about us and about our life, we realize that well, they come up short. We come up short. And when we have a high expectation, well, that messes up all the good feeling of Thanksgiving and Christmas, doesn't it? We need to be reminded that those inner needs are a part of our eternal identity. It's part of the fact that we're created in the image of God. And we have a yearning for meaning and purpose and security and belonging. And those are all good things. And I believe that we don't really truly understand the fulfillment of those key elements of being a human being until it is fulfilled and addressed from a divine perspective. One of the things that drew me to the faith was what the scriptures had to say about who I was, why I was, and where I was going. And the Bible has great answers for those great questions. There is a transcendent yet existential personal experience that validates the truth of God's desire to be in relationship with us. The reality that the Holy Spirit has taken up residency in us. And once we experience that, once we feel that, once we know that security and that belonging and that purpose and that meaning, well, we can't wait for eternity to come. Because it is the best human experience any person can have. And so we really have a choice. We can either pridefully continue on our own way, thinking somehow we or they or it will fulfill the key foundational issues in our life, or we can receive what God has for us. And that spirit is a great spirit. It's not a conflicted spirit. You don't have what you want or need because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it, your needs met, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure, and yes, we are pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding creatures. The holidays are about pleasure, enjoyment, celebration, happiness. And the key is when we're looking for them, someone else in our family, someone else around us to fulfill our basic foundational needs as a human being, we will what? Get upset about that. The scriptures are reminding us that when we come to God, we need to come to God. That we need to ask Jesus to be the leader of our life if we're to have that spirit that moves us in a loving direction. See, joy is about Jesus, others, and you. You can't have joy. You can't really extend joy to others when you're not being fulfilled, when you're not centered, when you're not standing on the right foundation, and this is what the scripture is saying. You ask God, but you don't ask him honestly, openly, humbly. Now, if you're like me, when I expect other people to fulfill my life and they don't do it, you know what happens? I get a little upset. Do you get a little upset? Do you have bitterness, anger, rage? Some people are silent ragers, by the way. Do you shout harsh words, insults, cursing? other types of rude, hurtful talk? A humble person is the person that gets rid of those things. Why? Anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. And as you gather with family and friends, who would want to give a foothold to the devil? We don't want to do that on purpose. But see, if we don't really understand our own personal human need and how God can fulfill that, I can tell you the next option is to look to family, human family members to give you everything you need, and they can't do it. They were never meant to do that. Their job is to build on the foundation that comes only in God's grace and love and forgiveness. We have to watch our tongues. Your tongue is a small thing, but what enormous danger it can do. Just like a tiny spark could set a green forest on fire, your tongue is also a dangerous fire. Yep. A dangerous fire. So what do we need? What does the posture of a humble person look like? Paul says in Galatians that you'll ask the Holy Spirit for the desire. The desire to change you on the inside. I know how this all works. We go and we look at everyone else and we want them to change. Stop doing this, do this. And really the last person we look at is ourselves. We got a bad attitude about that person in our family or that friend of a friend. And as we gather around the table or gather around the tree, that starts eating away at us, doesn't it? Yeah, throw a little alcohol on top of that. And that's like throwing gas on a fire. You can't control it or them. All you can do is control your own inner heart. And the Spirit wants to give us His heart, His attitude. It's a good attitude. Yes, it's in conflict with the devil. And we are devilish at times, even during the holidays. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Right? A new attitude about our expectation for other people, especially our family members. And two, what we need to do is we need to manage our mouths. I love what David says, Lord, help me control my tongue and help me be careful about what I say. The comments I make, the stories I tell. Jesus says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And we're not happy with them. When we've loaded up our relationship with them with too many expectations of what they're going to do for us, well, it's no wonder the conflict occurs, and we end up being, well, the person we'd rather not be, and we aren't most of the time. The truth is we're all challenging people. We all have a conflict going on inside of us. We all have expectations that family members and others close to us will meet our inner needs. And they can meet part of the need, but not the foundation. See, that foundation is only fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Why? He was God who became man, who died on the cross for our sins, my sins. And in his resurrection, we hope for resurrection. And as he left us with the Holy Spirit so that we would know the difference. That we would know the truth. That we would humbly engage this holiday season, this Christmas and Thanksgiving season, that we would engage others with a humble heart. Jesus was the perfect example that we need. Let's pray together. Lord, it's hard for us to sort out our inner needs at times in our life. And Lord, it's true, we want good things from family members and friends, especially we want to magnify that at Thanksgiving and Christmas. But yet, Lord, sometimes we overweight our relationship with expectations, with anticipation that no human being was made to deliver. And so, Lord, we ask you once again to fill us, to be our foundation, to be the one and only God of the universe and our personal Lord and leader. Lord, it's a great challenge. Love everyone else around the table and around the tree as we want to be loved. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit so that we can truly be your people this Thanksgiving and this Christmas. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, and there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not leave, shall not fade. By his love and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Challenging thing to walk in humility, but only by the Spirit of God we can do it. So go this week in the love of Christ. May he lead you, and may you be filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you.